Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring. You know, it's now day three of the new year, and a lot of people find themselves just so enthused going into the new year with great plans to do this or that, and sometimes it comes quick, second day, third day, maybe fourth. It's like you're kind of besieged by the enemy with thoughts, well, that won't work, this won't work. And or you get stuff in the mail, bills you weren't expecting, and everything else. Well, let me just tell you, today's teaching is to help you when the enemy comes against your new plans for the new year so that you don't give up on it. Well, just listen. Let's get started with this. Then I'll tell you more a little later. John 16:33 in the Classic Amplified Bible. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. You see, when the enemy comes, we'll choose whether we stay in perfect peace with confidence in every adversity and opportunity or whether to live with trials, tribulations, distress, and frustration. Child of God, you have a protector, a peacemaker, a provider who wants you, yes, earnestly desires to give you perfect peace, and his confidence in the midst of every attack and battle you're facing, even this early in the new year. He's kind of like the ever-ready battery, you know, equips you for running and battle, and you just keep on going, you keep on going. Now, I want to look at John 16:33 again, Classic Amplified. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Hallelujah. That's what we need when the enemy attacks. The verse goes on to say, in the world you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I've overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. In Him, in God, you and I may have, it's a choice, the ability to have perfect peace and confidence, confidence that nothing or nobody can rob us of our divine destiny or keep us from manifesting the promises of God in our lives. Death cannot, depression cannot, disappointment cannot, discouragement cannot, nothing, and I mean nothing, can keep us from having perfect peace and His confidence in every situation unless we choose otherwise. I think it's also important to notice that John 16:33 says, be of good cheer. That means not to mope around. Not to have a, oh, woe is me kind of attitude. Try this. The next time the enemy attacks you, your family, your finances, your health, laugh at him and the circumstances. Tell him that you're wise to his tricks and it's not going to work on you anymore. Then get back to keeping your eyes on the Lord. But Brother Harold, how can I be of good cheer but what I'm going through? You choose. Because we're creatures of free will, we can choose to be cheerful. That's what the Word says we're to do when we stand on His Word. Or we can choose to, well, to have nobody knows the trouble I've seen kind of mentality. Here are two scriptures that confirm the success of God's way over the world's way. Psalm 25:15. Classic Amplified Bible. My eyes forever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. If our eyes are on the Lord, then they can't be focused on our circumstances. Isaiah 26:3, King James. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, I believe the smart choice is to do what the Word says. Choose the right door to walk through. But it's our choice. And I want to emphasize that the choice has nothing to do with your circumstances. Nothing to do with the circumstances you're facing at the moment. What we do today, will determine how good or bad things will be in 2018 and the rest of our life. Here are 7 ways to be a good cheer in this new year. Good cheer, new year. Almost rhymes. Number 1, we talked a little bit about this on Monday's call, New Year's Day call. Number 1, encourage yourself. You must recognize that you may be the only person who will encourage you in the midst of adversity and, yes, even opportunities. May not be anybody else in your family. May not be anybody else that will, but you can encourage yourself in the midst of adversity. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, King James. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David and his men returned home from battle to find their families kidnapped, their valuable possessions stolen, and everything else burned to the ground. Needless to say, David was already having a bad day when things went from bad to worse. His men were now talking of stoning him to death. For there to exist that kind of anger against David, the beloved leader, you know things had to be pretty bad. In the midst of such adversity and personal grief, David knew there was only one thing to do, one way to shake it off, one way to sharpen his perspective, one course that would bring, it'd bring victory in a desperate, distressing, and depressing situation. He knew it was time to encourage himself in the Lord by speaking what he knew to be true in God's promises. When you feel like you're going through hell, the only source of peace and deliverance is through encouraging yourself in the one who can turn things around. Just like that. So here's the question. When was the last time you encouraged yourself? What's the best way to encourage yourself? Now, I'll tell you, reading the right books is important, especially, number 1, books, the Bible. Making the right confessions is very helpful. Memorizing the right quotations will stir your faith, and that's very good. Listening to the right CDs and MP3s will empower you. But the bottom line is this. Your faith and trust must be rooted and grounded in knowing that God is your source in every situation of life. One last thing. You may be the only person who will encourage you about a new opportunity and a new door that God has opened for you. But that's okay, because it's God. Now, these same principles apply to get us through an adversity or to soar into a God-given opportunity for the future. Number 2, know where you want to go. Know where you want to go. If we don't know where we want to go, what we want to do with our lives during this new year, and equally important, how we can get there, then it's time to have a little heart-to-heart. See, our destination is our goal. If your goal is to be a millionaire, you have an empty goal. Becoming a millionaire is a serendipity to fulfilling your vision, your dreams, and your goals. Stephen Covey's great book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, defines the second habit as, begin with the end in mind. So it's so important to always keep the end in mind, to never lose sight of your destination. It might surprise you to know that many Christians not only don't know where they are in life, they don't have a clue where they want to be. How do we determine our destination? By answering the right questions and dreaming. And yes, it's okay to dream. Sadly, many teachers stop their students from daydreaming, correcting, criticizing, and even sometimes embarrassing a student for doing what should come natural to every child. It's born of God, and that's dreaming. So let's dream a little bit to help us determine your ultimate destination. When we ask God, He will begin to unfold each answer to our questions about direction and our purpose for being here on planet Earth. Then we'll know our destination. It's a process, but well worth the effort. If we don't get an answer the first time, continue the process till you do. Number three, stop looking at your circumstances. Instead, create the circumstances you want instead of the ones you got. My brother Harold, you don't know my circumstances. Do you remember Psalm 25:15 and Isaiah 26:3 that I read just a little bit ago? See, if we focus on the why nots, we're feeding what we want to die. But if our eyes and minds stay focused on God, we'll begin to see that victory lies ahead. Over the years, I've heard that excuse more than there are days in a year. My typical response is, you're right. I don't know what your circumstances are, and I don't want to know. See, circumstances can be defined as the circle you're standing in. And I say to them, why should I want to hear about what you ought to be leaving behind as you move from glory into glory? Now, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, those who want to talk about circumstances are just looking for somebody to commiserate with them. I can tell you, I'm not that person. Dictionary.com defines circumstances as condition, detail, part, or attribute with respect to time, place, manner, agent that accompanies, determines, or modifies a fact or act, a modifying or influencing factor. Let me just tell you one thing that never changes. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus changes things which the world says can't be changed. So why should I worry about circumstances when I have the opportunity, the authority, the wisdom, and the access to change any and every circumstance? Our circumstances don't determine our destiny. They just reflect our current location and what we're doing or not doing at the moment. There's only one scripture we need to know about circumstances, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 9:8, Classic Amplified Bible. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, hallelujah, come to Randy in abundance, so that Denise may always have, and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Yes, I personalized that a little bit, and you should personalize that scripture too. Put your name in it. But let me just tell you, that scripture says it all, for all we're going to talk about today. We'll finish this on tomorrow's call. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching, up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. Sow wherever I ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking. Rich soul.